Thanks for being along. So as many people head back to the office for the first time in a couple of years, it's going to start happening with this show starting next week on a sort of a piecemeal basis, and we'll see how it goes from there. Are we going to run into issues we need to cope with? Are people going to be lamenting the loss of their work-from-home routine, having to add a commute back into the day? Let's talk about how we're going to deal with some of this. And joining me on it, registered psychologist Dr. Christine Coral. Dr. Coral, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jerry. Happy to be here.
Okay, good to have you. Let me hit you with something, and I'm coming out of left field at you here, but
sure.
I just found it funny. This morning, I opened up the show by talking about what a great thing I found it to be yesterday, when for the first time in months, I was able to pull the motorcycle out and go for a bit of a ride, and I used the phrase, four wheels moves the body, two wheels moves the soul. And and a reaction, look, if you don't like motorcycles, that sounds stupid. And if you do like motorcycles, you get that entirely. But the reason I brought it up with you is because somebody wrote in and said, that's why you never see a motorcycle parked in front of a psychiatrist or psychologist office.
Oh, I know a few who like riding motorcycles. I don't know about that one. I don't love them because of the head injury potential, but
yeah.
They're kind of fun.
Well, I think where that comes from.
I think we know too much about the heads.
Yeah, I think where that sentiment of the person writing in came from is if you find anything that gives you peace, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, you know, one of the best things to if you can't get to a therapist to treat depression, one of the most effective strategies is to actually do things that are good for your soul, to do things that are fun and give you a sense of achievement and connect you with others. That's called behavioral activation. And honestly, it's very, very helpful. So often when people can't afford to come to therapy, that's one of the things I recommend that they start to do on their own. You gotta bring some joy into your life.
I think that the feeling I'm talking about on a motorcycle is the same thing that many people get on the back of a horse.
Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
All right. Let's talk about people getting back to work. Not everybody wants to do it. It doesn't mean they don't want to work. They just want to go back to the office.
Well, no, because they don't want the commute. They've got great work-life balance. You can have a meeting, throw some laundry in and have your lunch, and for a lot of people with disabilities, it's been a game changer. They can get through their day and have a life, and so a lot of people are going to be looking for new jobs if their companies force them to come in. That's already happening.
Yeah, when we first started talking about going back and whether or not people would really actually quit, 70% of the population in a survey said that they would give up a raise and or promotion just for the opportunity to work from home or wherever they want to be situated. I don't think 70% of people are going to do it. It's wishful thinking in some cases. But someone wrote in and said, my friend has a smaller ad agency, and six people quit immediately upon the announcement that you had to come back to the office.
Yeah.
All right. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think hybrid models are going to be popular because, you know, I think, you know, for a lot of my patients who are all remote and they're younger and single, it's hard, right? You know, if you're still living at home with your parents, it's your first job out of university, you need to get away from them. But you also want to meet some of your colleagues too. So, you know, there's companies have to be flexible. I think that's the thing if they want to retain employees.
But you must talk to people too who are just sick and tired of being at home and not interacting with other human beings, and they can't wait to get back.
Oh, I've got a several people that, you know, I'm working on, you know, can you talk to your employer about going back into the office? Like, this isn't working for you. So it's very individual, right? It depends on the person's situation. But yes, I'm definitely working with people for whom it's hard. I always have been. There's been remote workers, you know, long before the pandemic. So, you know, they can find the time of the day to come to therapy sessions and, you know, work on that loneliness. So if you're going to work remotely, you have to have some things in place to keep your mental health in balance. You can't just stay. One of the big problems I see is people set up their office in a corner of their bedroom and they stay there all day, and then they do more things on the computer at night because it's there, and then they can't sleep because there's no separation between work and home.
Yeah, but I think one of the things that everybody's different, as we've just articulated here. Some don't want to go back, some can't wait to go back, and some are maybe in the middle. I want to go back, and I want to work with so-and-so, and I can't wait to see so-and-so, and the opportunity to interact, to have better face-to-face meetings. But, oh my God, those one or two people who just, I'm right in the middle of a project, and they got to come by and talk about, did you see that funny meme I sent you? Did you look at it?
Oh, yeah. You can actually get some stuff done while you're at home.
Yeah, but like, how do you handle that? Like, at what point could you go back and can you actually turn to the person and say, you know what I liked the last 2 years was not dealing with you. So could you leave me alone?
Well, you don't want to be that mean.
No?
And say, you know, just, oh, nice to see you, Greg. I've got a deadline here. I really have to focus. And, you know, if it keeps being a problem, talk to your manager or director about the space. You know, one of the worst things, I think, you know, it'd be interesting to see the people who have their own office might be more likely to go back to work versus those who are in open offices, which we know are terrible for productivity. People can't think, can't concentrate. You know, the prevailing thinking is that you save, you know, money on rent. You know, it requires less office space to house so many employees than if you give them each individual offices. But it's really hard to get any deep work done in those kinds of settings. So I imagine the people who are working in cubicles aren't as keen.
I think one of the things I'm talking to Dr. Christine Curl, registered psychologist. We're talking about people going back to the office or not. One of the things that I think is going to be tough for managers, and I don't wish this on myself. Managers are going to have to deal with it. Is people come back with varying degrees of confidence and a feeling of safety. Some people are panicked and still want to come to work in a hazmat suit, and some people are just thrilled to be out of all of the restrictions, and management has to deal with both sides of that. It's not going to be easy.
Well, and there's people who have legitimate concerns too. They're immunocompromised. They're not sure that the vaccines worked as well for them, or they're taking care of somebody, or they have small children who aren't vaccinated yet. So everybody's in a different sort of safety range that, you know, that they feel comfortable in. So yeah, and if somebody's just like, woohoo, we don't have to wear masks, that's very anxiety provoking. But then it can also be annoying to the people who don't want to wear masks to see people who are still masked up and still being cautious, and they don't want to think about it anymore. So there's potential for that conflict coming back into the office with everybody's varying levels of comfort.
Okay, we're going back sort of on an ad hoc, not an ad hoc basis, but we're, well, the way my producer, Becky, explained it to me was, if you're here today, you're gone tomorrow. So, like, next week we'll be there Tuesday and Thursday, then it's Monday, Wednesday, and then probably not Friday because I think it's a holiday, but you get what I mean. And maybe easing people back in is a smart thing to do.
Well, yeah, that's what psychologists will recommend for any kind of anxiety, is that you take these baby steps and you start to plan to go back. You know, ideally, I think a hybrid model is going to work for a lot of people. So you have that connection and communication. Like, and there are some people who aren't as productive at home. They get more work done in the office and vice versa. So, you know, being able to work with your employees, like Best Buy years ago, let people set their own hours and work when they wanted to. Like in their corporate offices, not in the stores. And, you know, it was great for recruitment and retention, and they were quite successful in getting quite a bit of work done. So it's, each company's going to have to look at it and see what works best for them. It probably depends on the industry as well. You know, a lot of tech workers are good working remotely, and you know, as long as they're getting their projects done. So companies really need to look more at, you know, what's our productivity, rather than just having this idea we have to get people back into the office. Look at, you know, are you meeting your targets? Are you meeting your goals? Are your employees happy? Talk to your employees about what they want. Set up hybrid models. Test entering slowly. I think, you know, we don't have enough information yet about what people want and what people are going to want in the long term. Just like at the beginning of the pandemic, nobody knew what was going. As we open up a little bit, we aren't either. So there's going to be a lot of experimentation. So I think the smartest thing for employers to do is to have this air of experimentation with their employees so that they work together with them.
Have you already returned to the office and you're dealing with the office dynamics added into those dynamics, getting fully through COVID, so various policies at work you wouldn't have had in the past regarding health and interaction and masking and all that kind of stuff? And if not, and it's on the way, are you dreading the change? We'd love to hear from you at 416-872-1010, 416-872-1010, and 877-518-5151, toll-free, 877-518-5151. Text us at 71010. Us being me and registered psychologist Dr. Christine Coral, who's with me talking about this whole issue. And Dr. Coral, how much do you think mental and emotional damage people have really suffered? Have we just talked about that, or have the past 2 years really had a dramatic effect on grown-ups rather than just children?
It's, well, you know, actually, there's some research showing that kids have done quite well. Not every kid, but that, you know, suicidality hasn't gone up. In some cases, it's dropped. So there's a lot of attention in the media about the impact on mental health. But it's more complex than that. You know, it's everybody sort of itching to go out, and there's more irritability. Certainly, my phone is always ringing off the hook pre or post pandemic. You know, so people are always struggling. What I'm starting to see now is just a difference in some of the things that people are coming to my office for. You know, a lot of people are having trouble with the reopening, and not necessarily because they're uncomfortable. They may have had social anxiety or OCD before the pandemic, and the pandemic allowed them to avoid some of their triggers for 2 years. And now that they have to face them again, or they're being asked to go back to work, it's really hard because they're out of practice for 2 years. And so, you know, the going to work and, you know, doing these different things kept their disorders in check. And, you know, the main treatment for anxiety is to face your fear. You know, we never make anyone face a fear that's actually dangerous. It's more a fear that you're uncomfortable with or feels scary. But if you're not in practice, that becomes harder. You know, and for kids, you know, there's a group of kids who have something called school refusal. They have a hard time going back to school. So they've loved the pandemic because, you know, there's no pressure on them to go back to school. But now that things are opening up again, it's quite a bit of work to help them feel comfortable. And it's not even a return to school as normal, because, you know, yeah.
Somebody just wrote in, I've been the only person in an empty office for 2.5 years while the so-called more important people work from home. I need a vacation big time.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. You know, at the beginning of the pandemic, I was asked to do a workshop for healthcare leaders and wondering what they could do, like the people who work in hospital operations, what they could do to support clinical staff throughout the pandemic. And one of the first things was, don't work remotely. Go on the floor and, you know, be with people who are on the front line and see what they're actually dealing with. And, you know, throughout the pandemic, I was treating other healthcare workers who were complaining that they never saw their director or, you know, senior executives on the floor, that, you know, they were making all these policies and never saw what the staff was going through. So, yeah, you know, it's fine for you, but not for me is not an approach to take in leadership. You have to be there with your team.
Well, what do you think of this one? Here's a text message. I work in an office full of women. Between talking about recipes, shopping, their kids, vacations, I'm going to get a lot less work done. Right now, we can chit-chat a bit at the beginning of a Zoom conference, but then we get something done. So this is a person who thinks our productivity is going to go down to women talking too much about stuff that doesn't have to do with work.
I know some guys who can talk my ear off, too.
Yeah, but sports are important.
Oh, but sports are important. Oh, okay. So I think, you know, just noise in the office, you know, this is something that companies have not addressed for ages, you know, and every time I've worked in a hospital and they've like talked about open office space for everybody, you know, all the psychologists in the hospital come up and say, here's all the research saying how terrible it is. We have to give people a quiet place to work. It's just not helpful to not be able to protect people from noise. And sometimes you just need to be able to close the door to get things done. So that's for some people why productivity will be higher at home, and others, you know, who have a better working condition, productivity might be better at the office because they can get away from kids and other noise in their house.
Yeah, I really think productivity in the end is up to the person, whether they can manage their time and be productive or not, no matter where they are. But I think that there's going to be an element. I'm just thinking of myself going back to work. And while people can really be time thieves because they come around and they want to talk to you about all kinds of stuff, when I initially get back and see people that I haven't seen, Dr. Coyle, for literally over 2 years, I want to take a few minutes to talk to them.
Of course. Yeah. So there's be a little bit of that where everybody's chatting, but you know what? It's also those hallway conversations where sometimes you come up with really good ideas, and you want to develop relationships when you're at work, because you know those people can be your champions and help you put projects forward. And you know there's a lot to relationships helping you do really great stuff at work. And so being isolated and not having those conversations, or even just being able to debrief with somebody after a meeting. So, you know, once you close the Zoom link and the conversation's over, you don't know, like, do people really think that was good? Like, sometimes you'll jump on a call with one or two people after, but to just, you know, hang back and chat with some people about what the hell just happened here? Some meetings that might have gone sideways. Like, it's nice to have that connection and, you know, have moments where you're not just working, but talking about work and debriefing a little bit.
Sure. But I think that that people are probably going forward going to benefit from now our understanding of how we can do some hybrid work. You're feeling a little bit sick. Okay, don't come in and make other people sick then. Work from home today and tomorrow, and then we'll see you back here on Thursday or whatever the situation happens to be. I think the smart managers are going to embrace at least the hybrid model.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, but, you know, talk with your team and see what they need. My husband has a small IT consulting company, and they talked to all their employees. They sent, you know, asked them what they wanted. Nobody wanted to come back into the office ever, but a few of them did because of their living situations, and they didn't really have a quiet place to work, and they needed to get out of the house. So they got them some space at WeWork, and then people started using it a little bit more, so they got a little bit more space, and they're just going to do that until they figure out what they want to do. They let go of their lease. They were lucky. Their lease ended at the beginning of the pandemic, so they let it go because everybody was working remotely then. But yeah, there hasn't been a lot of interest in going back full time. So people just drop in and out wherever they want, whenever they want. They need to get out. So.
Yeah, I'm talking to Dr. Christine Coyle, registered psychologist. And before we end here, how has that worked over the 2 years for you and your patients? I would imagine that you've had to have a lot of Zoom conferences with people, which was not the way it worked before. Do you think it'll now become a hybrid model for you, or do you want everybody back on the couch, so to speak?
Well, I really loved telehealth before the pandemic, so I was a little unusual. And I taught a grad course at Simon Fraser University to the clinical psych students on telehealth. I've been doing this for about 20 years. So before the pandemic, about a third of my practice was telehealth. So when it hit, I also put like a YouTube video up for other therapists and teaching them how to do it and the ethics and some of the differences in that kind of therapy. So it's an interest of mine. I also developed the online therapy service for Vancouver Coastal Health, which actually closed in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So, you know, so for me, I'm a little different, but I was talking to a colleague yesterday. He goes like, I don't want to go back. Like, this is great. Just doing health, and I don't have the high office overhead, and people get better. And then I have other colleagues who are like, I can't stand this, you know, the therapy's not the same. And so they're starting to see more and more people. So I think just for me, just the percentages are going to shift when things open up a little bit. Through most of the pandemic, it's been about like 99% telehealth for me.
Yeah.
And now it's like 92%, because I've got a few people that need to come in for certain kinds of exposure therapies. But
Well, I'm sort of anxious to see 1 year from now if we have a conversation about this subject, how we've all processed through it, and whether the world really does change or we've all snapped back to where we were before, which is the sort of normal human condition. But Dr. Christine Coral, good to have you. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.